currently 48 degrees in Salem and Danville, 46 in Roanoke, 46 in Bedford, and 46 in Lynchburg.
Hey, that tells you if Republicans live in your neighborhood. I've seen it. There's little elephant heads on the houses. I feel sorry for Republicans. It's rough for them out there. They can't slip up. They gotta hide all the time. They can't say what they mean. They can't one day be with their California friends and be like, you know what? I think life begins at conception. I'm like, what? What'd you just say? I said, I love paying for other people's contraceptives.
Hey, quick thinking there.
Knows his place in California there, apparently.
It's very important to be able to, like, you know, it's self-preservation, really.
It really is.
When you think about it. So, well done you.
So, my apologies earlier. When you're doing live radio and you're trying to download stuff and you don't have a whole lot of time to edit it, even listen to it sometimes. Here is the Joe Biden clip that I really wanted to play at the end of the last hour. This is him being interviewed in 1994, talking about Haiti and Croatia. And the comments that he makes about Haiti are very interesting here.
A leading editor of a paper in the Delaware Valley asked their reporters to come down and talk to me and said, why is Biden so concerned about Bosnia and not about Haiti? Is it because blacks are involved in Haiti? Blacks are what at stake in Haiti, and in Bosnia they are Europeans, whites. There is major arsenals of nuclear weapons where they have long histories of national wars where ethnicity dominates. That is a phenomenal potential consequence of the United States. If Haiti, a god-awful thing to say, if Haiti just quietly sunk into the Caribbean or rose up 300 feet, it wouldn't matter a whole lot in terms of our...
You know what's amazing to me is how different he sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, he sounds
doesn't
a lot better.
Doesn't even remotely sound like the same person.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot. His voice now is a lot more raspy. It is very weak, and
confused.
And confused, right?
Wow, I mean, you really can tell it.
And the age doesn't matter. I heard John MacArthur speak not that long ago. He's like 80 now. His voice is almost as strong now as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And obviously the guy is brilliant.
And look, everybody ages differently. Mm-hmm. And there's true. Nothing wrong with,
right,
you
right.
know, getting out of the public eye once. I mean, you look at how long Barbara Walters was in front of the camera.
Yeah,
She hasn't been because it was time.
It was time. And she understood that.
And she knew that.
Yeah.
And so she was able to retire gracefully and do that.
Yeah.
But... That's really, you really can tell when you go back and listen to that.
I've shared my Barbara Wawa story, right? How I called the affiliates, the satellite feed. Did I share that story?
I think you did.
Okay. I'll wait a year.
I don't remember that much, but I think you did.
I'll share it another time.
Talk about that.
So it's Friday. We're very excited that it's Friday. It's been a long week. I mean, my wife's been gone. You know, she's been, you know, celebrating her mom's 80th.
Which is great.
Yeah. And now she's, they're back from where they were in St. Augustine and back in near the Ocala area.
Uh-huh.
And she's probably trying to help her parents now figure out they want to move up here.
Right.
But my father-in-law, you think I have stuff. Holy cow. I'm 63 almost.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law is 81. So he's got almost 20 years of more accumulation than me.
Oh, my. So. And see, I'm overwhelmed just with my back bedroom right now.
Right.
So I can't even imagine. Right. Because I went through
oh, yeah,
20 years of stuff when I
yes,
sold my
you did.
House.
That's right.
So I've just gone through that.
Yeah.
But this is kind of like the last of it that I had to get before the house sold. And so...
Right.
I don't know what to do with it.
Some things are easy to get rid of.
Right.
And then there's just other things you just can't. here's what I do, and I think they even do this on this show where they put everything in the front yard and they ask you to put it in different sections, you know, and it's funny when they do it. Now this, you know, the pile to the right is everything you still need. The pile to the left is what you don't need anymore. And, you know, if it was a set of scales, the stuff they still need outweighs it by 10 times of what they're getting rid of.
But I mean, it's even things like photographs.
Yeah.
Because when my dad died, then he had photographs and he had the, you know, nice framed photos of my children. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, you don't want to throw that away. Right. And anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's very complicated sometimes.
I was given my brother Jim got some, but I got the majority of the boxes. And what I do is every now and then I'll go down to the box and I start separating. I built some folders. As a matter of fact, I'm glad I did that because my niece just celebrated her birthday. And I knew there was a picture in the folder for Jim's family of Rachel when she was younger. And so I posted that on Facebook. And she was just so tickled. Uncle Mark, where did you find this? I said, well, you know, I have grandma's photos. And I said, how old were you there? And she goes, I was 19. That's my 19th birthday party. And, you know, Rachel's now in her 40s, I guess, early 40s. So anyway, yeah, it's hard to get rid of some stuff.
It can be a little bit of a challenge. And, you know, there are people out there. And there's a woman named Ann, and I forget, Ann Custer is her name.
Okay.
And she has a business, and she comes to all of our listening areas, Roanoke, Lynchburg.
Oh, okay.
And she helps you. I think she's in Rocky Mount, but she'll come to your home.
Right.
And she'll go through that process with you. And she's so good about helping you understand what you need to do with things,
right,
how to organize what you have.
Right.
And then helping you find a place where what you don't need anymore can be useful again.
Okay.
I mean, she is gifted.
So she sounds like she understands the emotional attachment that people have.
100%.
Yeah.
And you know what the best thing is about Anne is she's not judgy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so if someone feels like, oh my gosh, I can't have anybody come in here because, you know, I'm starting to look like a hoarder or whatever. She's so good about that. Wow organizing, that's what it's called.
Wow organizing, okay.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's really good.
I have a ex-brother-in-law who's been on a project of a retired engineer. He lost his wife, the engineer lost his wife a couple of years ago. But they have this huge house, and he had him build like a patio all the way around the house. It's a single level house, and build shelves. And he's an engineer, so he has overbuilt this thing because, you know, Butch was building all this and he says, yeah, Mark, he has over-engineered this thing crazy. But there's literally hundreds of those biggest tubs that you can find that you buy at Walmart that are just full of stuff.
All right.
And stuff. And he's in his 80s and he's got kids. As a matter of fact, a quick story. She was dating a guy from the FBI, one of his daughters. And the running joke was, oh my God, I hope he doesn't like take advantage of his access. And they do like, because he, the father, the engineer, owned a compound of probably 100 acres. And he had sold off lots to the kids. And so anyway, she says, I hope he doesn't do some kind of a satellite shot of where I've lived, because he's going to see mom and dad's place. And he's going to go, oh my God, I got to stay away from this girl. I mean, it was like one of those, because he had so many outbuildings, because he had so much stuff.
Right. Well, anyway. There's a lot of things out there to help you declutter your home. And for a lot of seniors, they're downsizing their home.
Yeah.
Some of the things that they tell you to do if you're purchasing a smaller home is to start as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And pace yourself so that you're not stressed out.
Yeah, because it, yeah.
Yeah, and the time to start is today.
Today.
And they say do one-a-day method. Mm-hmm. Let go of one item per day,
right,
or let go of the number of items that corresponds with the date, like 12 items on the 12th, that kind of thing can be good. The KonaMari method that we
talk
about.
I know all about that at my house.
Yeah. If it doesn't spark joy, it's time to get rid
of it.
Hold
it for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I did that with my wife, and I kept her.
Four-box method. Restrict your options for what to do with a particular item by only giving yourself four options. Keep, donate, trash, recycle, and sell.
Right.
And avoid putting things in storage.
Yeah.
And then the closet hanger method. Face all closet hanger hooks away from you. Once you wear an item, turn the hanger hook towards you. After 6 months, donate any clothes that are still facing.
That's a life hack right there.
It is.
That is an awesome idea.
And that's one that Ann uses.
Turn the hook towards you after you've cleaned it. And if you...
After you've worn it.
Wow. Yeah.
But if they're still facing away from you, then you're not wearing it.
Interesting.
So why are you keeping it?
Interesting. Yeah, that is so simple.
The others are focus on one room at a time, you know, go through DVDs, video games, address the dreaded junk drawer,
pick
shoes to give away and to keep, trim down clothing in your closet, tackle your dresser drawer, that kind of thing. Measure out your new space so you know what you can take with you and consider a new lifestyle.
Wow.
Like, you know, what are your top reasons for wanting to downsize? And then set a clear decluttering ground rules. Okay. I'm going to put a link to this article.
That is awesome.
It's good stuff.
It sounds like an easy way to get started.
But don't wait till Sunday morning. Start today.
Exactly. It's 7:17 on the Morning Jam. Welcome.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
A bank teller, probably one of the sexiest girls I'd ever seen in my life. I walk in, I get in her line, I'm staring, she looks good, I'm staring. I notice... she kind of looked back up at me, like we kind of had like a little moment for a second. That's when she smiled at me. I'm gonna be honest, I peed a little bit on myself. No shame, ma'am, no shame. Not a lot. Just enough where I can't say it didn't happen. I feel like y'all being real judgmental right now. I get up to the counter, I give her my account information and everything. She's doing her thing and I just couldn't hold it in no more. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am. The next time that you get hungry, I'd like to be the man to feed you. She looks down at her monitor and replies, well, I don't think we both can eat on $8.37.
You never, ever flirt with your bank teller. That's why you don't flirt with your bank teller.
This is true.
They know far too much.
Okay, this is just so ironic that this person would talk about a bank teller. Because I think the next lady on the phone right now, Cheryl, were you a bank teller? You worked at a bank, right?
Yep, I just retired after 30 years.
On the phone right now, if you heard yesterday's show, this is the young lady, Cheryl Moore, in eighth grade.
No, you give her her title.
And I got the title wrong yesterday. I called her Miss Newport Richie. She was Miss Chasco Fiesta. Queen.
Wow.
Chasco Fiesta is the big, it's almost like here in Lynchburg, you know, we had the kaleidoscope. So in Newport Richie, that was kind of the kaleidoscope week that we would have. Chasco Fiesta was a big deal back in the day, 1976.
So
Chasco Fiesta Queen for 1976.
Okay.
Cheryl Morrill.
Cheryl, you get talked about, I won't say as much as his wife.
Oh,
but
stop.
You get talked about a lot.
I've brought your incident up with the pencil two or three times since we've been on the air in December because I've been known to be a little bit of out of control, a little bit of a class clown, and that continues in my 60s now.
All right, now you sit back and let me talk to her
for a second. Oh, stop. Oh, I knew this was going to be trouble if she called.
Just a second. Okay. So tell me about the pencil incident.
Well, I'm pretty sure he exaggerated.
Oh, yeah, you think?
I'm pretty sure. The way I heard it was like, I put it all the way in, broke it off. Well, I don't think I'm that strong to break it off with one hand.
In the eighth grade.
It might have went in the leg.
It may or may not have gone in the leg. Oh, and it's always very dramatic. She stabbed me in the leg, and that's when they had real lead in pencils. And, yeah, it's always very dramatic. So what was he doing to annoy you? Do you even remember?
Well, Mark was, I probably don't remember the exact thing, but Mark was always chatting, always just talking away, you know, coming up with something, you know, talking about his VW truck that he had made and was always working on it.
Yep.
I hear you. I mean, many times in the morning, I've wanted to stab him in the leg with a pencil. So I get it. Believe me. Yeah. Well,
I'm sure it was just about a 16th of an inch of the pencil.
Yeah. Well, it did stop me from annoying you that particular day. I think the rest of...
I'm sure it did.
I was afraid of you pretty much after that.
Oh, stop it.
Until you became a beauty queen, and then he was like, oh, I gotta date her.
I got to go out with her.
I think his exact words upped his street cred.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did take me and I think a group of people down to car racing when they used to do the figure eights down in Clearwater or St. Pete.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I missed the 45th.
When you're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. It really does. And you still are a beautiful lady, Cheryl. And I didn't make the class reunion this year. Did you get to make the 45th?
No, I didn't. I happened to be out of town. My grandson had a birthday, and they were celebrating it over by Disney. So
oh, okay.
I was like, no, I can't make it. But well, they called just to make sure, not because normally I go.
Yeah, sure.
But I really felt bad.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you've called in and you've confirmed that Mark did, in fact, date a beauty queen. And she did stab him in the leg with a lead pencil. So, good to know.
Hey, you know, that's my claim to fame.
That's well, a good one.
Well, Cheryl, God bless you. And please tell your hubby hi for us. And he's the lucky one. And I am too because of who I'm married to, and we both got the
beautiful lady.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We both got the girl, and I'm just so privileged to call you my friend. And we hope to see you at the 50th. You know what upset me the most not making it this year, Cheryl? Not only seeing all my classmates is I still have hair. Okay, I mean I made it to some of these. Yeah. I'm one of the few that still, and it is thinning, and I'm thinking, I may not have a whole lot. I may have to do a comb over by the 50th.
That's what toupees are for. You'll be fine. Thank you so much for calling in, dear. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Y'all have a great day.
You too.
You too. Take care and go Buccaneers, right?
All right. Well, you've...
Go back.
You've confirmed it all.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
I believed you.
Well... Yeah, former beauty queen. You know what I mean? Chasco Fiesta queen. Now, that's even
queen.
Higher up than Miss Newport Richie in my mind.
Wasn't Miss Newport Richie not a queen?
Well, she was
got
a queen,
a tiara,
too.
Didn't she?
I'm sure she did. But the Chasco Fiesta parade, let me just tell you one thing.
I have a tiara. I'm gonna wear my tiara in Monday. You wait.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to do it.
We had a boat parade because all the channels that were in our area, man-made channels with the Gulf, mm-hmm. you know, of Mexico, and the Chasco Fiesta boat parade was huge.
Cool.
And so it was a neat time, and she's a neat lady. And I did ask her to call in today if she wanted to defend or straighten the record out. And
yeah, you're just trying to make sure everybody knows you dated a beauty queen. That's fine.
Well, that's okay, too. I'm married to one now.
Yeah, I'm sure Kara was participating in...
Well, no.
in beauty pageants. Okay. All right.
No. I mean, she's a beauty, too.
She is a beauty.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Hey, Jason, in this text, mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting, it says, I think this time in politics is going to be analyzed for years.
Yeah.
Because Trump was so polarizing, mm-hmm. did that beget Biden? Remember, Harris was so incompetent, she dropped out of the presidential race early. Biden was the same, mm-hmm. but James Clyburn saved his bacon, barely, and of all places, conservative South Carolina. Stephen King couldn't write this.
You're right.
My point is, if Trump hadn't been so polarizing, if there had been a more moderate president of the United States rather than Trump, would he or she have been simply reelected? Whatever, America has elected this mess, which is unfortunate. Mm. I would go a step further, Jay, to say that the reason we have Trump is because of how polarizing Obama was. So I don't think, had Obama not been so divisive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people so exhausted from the America sucks and I'm just now proud of America and, you know, the police are bad and mm-hmm. everybody's bad mm-hmm. and not taking care of our veterans and, you know, watching out for the world, but not America, not putting America first.
Right.
If it weren't for that, we wouldn't have had Trump. I really don't think we would have.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, from the beer summit that happened because Obama stepped in it when it came to that person, that professor that, you know, was breaking into his own house, and somebody called and said, there's a black man breaking into a house.
Right.
And it happened to be his own house. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to, you know, get that all straightened out. And Obama entered into the story. And then they end up having the professor and the policeman that made the arrest over for the infamous. And Joe was there for the beer summit because Obama wanted to insert himself on anything that was dealing with race. And it usually didn't turn out well. You know, just like, what's his name?
But he is right. It'll be analyzed for decades to come.
I'll be long gone.
And you'll probably be glad of it.
True.
We got your local headlines coming up and your nonprofit spotlight's on the way.
It is. It's 7:30. CBS News Brief is coming up next. And I don't have any more beauty queens lined up to call into the show. So the Friday Funnies will just have to fill that void, Janet. Mm.
Currently 46 degrees in Lynchburg, 46 in Bedford, and we have 48 in Danville, Salem, and in Roanoke.
You've heard the story already. Kimberly McBroom's been talking about it, but we want to emphasize again that Campbell County Sheriff's Office needs your help in finding two individuals that have been stealing from cars in the area. Approximately, these thefts have happened between 3 and 5 a.m. Two individuals were caught on a surveillance camera stealing items from the vehicles at several hotel properties across Campbell County. Surveillance video of the crime can be viewed if you hook up with the Campbell County Sheriff's Department. If you have any information, please call 434-332-9547. It's 434-332-9574, not 47. 74.
Healthcare and first responder workers from all over the region held a joint news conference at the Berglund Center yesterday. The goal was to send an urgent message to community members to get vaccinated and to follow COVID-19 protocols. They're trying to slow the spread of the coronavirus as hospitals are seeing an uptick in cases. Mm. Chief David Hoback of the Roanoke Fire EMS says the number of people calling 911 for COVID-related issues has increased significantly over the last 2 months, putting a strain on how healthcare workers effectively respond to a crisis. He said in the meeting, this is not a hospital issue. This is not a fire EMS issue. This is a community issue, and we need to get through this together. That's why you saw the regional partners here from Henry County to Craig to Botetourt to Rockbridge, and you have all the healthcare systems coming together to relay how urgent this message is. He said, please get vaccinated. Do all the things we know now. If you develop symptoms, reach out immediately to your primary care physician so you can get tested and intervene if you're positive with symptoms prior to you ever needing hospitalization.
So the gentleman that just showed up in our studio, I mean, this guy's is serious business.
Yeah, he's ready to hit the river.
He's ready to hit the river.
And there's a reason for that.
He looks like a younger version of your husband.
Yeah.
He, I mean, same, you know, physique and everything.
Yeah.
Well built,
ready
to go. Got
that outdoor man thing going on.
Yeah.
Well, as being with the James River Association, that would make sense there. We welcome you, Rob Campbell, this morning to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Now, tell us about the James River Association. You are in charge of activities, right?
Well, we do lots of stuff in the realm of cleaning up the river, and it's okay. been a 40-year process. It's been a long time. As many of you know, the James was once one of the dirtiest rivers in the country, top five dirtiest rivers. It was bad, and the Lower James especially. Up here, it had gotten bad, but not as bad as it was in the Lower James below Richmond. Mm-hmm. And our organization started around the time that the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act came out in the early 70s, and ever since then, we've really just been trying to do anything that we possibly can to advocate for better river conditions. And in many cases, that's helping get funding for stormwater projects in cities like Richmond and Lynchburg, or some of our newer projects are focused on riparian forests, where we're trying to take up places where farming and cattle may have once been in rivers and creeks and streams, and get some good funding to get those cattle out and to get some trees and stuff planted back in there to create a nice filter. There's been lots of things that have been done over the last 40 years.
It's interesting because the river is so integral, especially in the Lynchburg area. It's part of the reason Lynchburg exists, is because the river was so important from a trade standpoint and that type thing. And then because you build up along the river, if you don't take the right precautions, we end up where we did.
Sure, yeah. Sure, absolutely. And Congress in the mid-90s dubbed the James River America's founding river. And with that, you've got lots of industry and commerce that's happened and mm-hmm. exploration and travel on the James River over the last 400 years.
Right.
So with that kind of use, things are going to happen. But really, it's a wonderful story that we can tell now as to how far the river has come in that time. We're now the cleanest tributary to the Chesapeake Bay, which is something we're very proud of.
Yeah.
And really have come a long way in that 40 years, and it's a good story for rivers in Virginia and across the country.
Well, one of the things that you do is you help teach our children how important the river mm-hmm. is and how to take care of the river. Tell us how you do that.
Yeah, we have a couple of different programs where we work with middle school and high school students in the area. We had a really busy fall schedule, and we still have a busy fall schedule, but with river levels and changing school conditions, we are definitely not immune from that. But we do offer a nice, safe outdoor environment where we're getting the kids out on the river. In the middle school, we're actually splitting them into three groups, and they'll have three separate sections where they're learning in and about the river and freshwater systems that they'll be seeing on their SOLs later on. So it's good hands-on learning that they're going to put right to use later. And as they go on through high school, they'll graduate to a longer trip, a day trip on the river, where we focus in on some more of those issues. And again, hitting right at some of those things they're going to be using on those testing, and really hitting it home to them so they see exactly in real life what they're putting on paper.
See, I love that. What about your education facilities? Now, you all are in the process of trying to make improvements to that. First of all, tell us where it is and what the plans are.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a beautiful view of downtown Lynchburg. We're actually on the Amherst County side, based right in River's Edge Park. There's one building there in the park, and we have an excellent view there. And not only that, but we have the usage of the park for our education facility. And we're able to get a great view not only of the river, but able to spread out in that ecosystem and teach kids about different parts of it, mm-hmm. and then get them out on the river for a nice, easy section for kids that, if they have some experience, they'll have fun. But for most of our kids, they've never been on the water before, and it's our opportunity to train and to give them a glimpse of what it's like to paddle on the James and to see that this resource is right in their backyard. And kayaking is a really, at the end of the day, an easy way to get kids outside.
Oh,
it's an initial cost of buying the kayak, but it's free after that.
Right.
So, yeah. Rob, give me a story of a young person that was first time on the river, and I mean, it was better than Disney.
Oh, absolutely.
Give me one of those kind of stories.
Oh, we've had several. It's really hard. It's just pick a day, and I can pull one almost from every single day that we take kids out. But we really have some of the more challenging cases of some of the ones we get the most joy out of, mm-hmm. and the kids that just really have no intention of getting on the water at all.
No desire.
No
they come
desire.
In because they're used to being inside playing video games, or maybe playing. If they get outside, they're playing ball or something like that.
Right, and this is just so far outside their comfort zone that it can be a little much. And we're certainly not going to force anybody to do anything.
And it can be scary.
It can be.
If you haven't, I mean, I grew up around mountains and rivers and streams, so to me it was second nature.
Right.
But for a child who's from the city, who's never been to a river, it can be extremely intimidating.
It can be.
And you do want them to be, but I mean, you have a hard job. Because with kids, you've got the child that's scared of everything, or you've got the child that has no fear. So you've got to have a respect of the water and that kind of thing. So,
and we want them to have that. And through our process of getting them ready for the river, which is getting them suited up with a life jacket, making sure that's nice and tight, and talking about why we have that on first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is done a little bit before time. We go into the classroom, whether it's virtually or in the classroom itself, to prep them for these trips. So they're a little bit prepared for what they're going to see. But really the greatest thing that can help is those classmates that you mentioned. The one that's gung-ho gets on the water, and the one that's a little more timid sees that one's out there and it's not so bad, and they're having a good time.
Right.
And they want to get out there and have a good time too. And we certainly will work with them until they get it. And if they don't quite pick it up in the short time we have with them, that's okay. We'll make sure they get where they need to be, and we'll be there for them next time if they want to try again.
Now, a little birdie told me you have a new access point that's going to be introduced here very soon.
We do. That's coming up at the end of the month. We're going to be starting construction in the fall time frame, where we're going to be accessing from the Amherst County side the upper flat section of river that we have right in front of downtown Lynchburg, which really is a great little spot for people that are looking for a short trip with their family, or if they're coming after work and want to paddle on the river for an hour or two and not have to go all the way downstream. It's a great little spot. It's a beautiful view of downtown Lynchburg. But it's also going to be the launching point for our bateau. Our organization built a bateau a few years ago, and we actually are taking customers out for rides on the bateau. Now, of course, not this weekend because the water's way too high.
Yeah, it's too high for
that. But the bateau's riding it out on the river right now, as many in the past 250 years ago would have.
Now, let me ask you: do you run that all year long? Do you sink it part of the year?
Yeah, we will sink it eventually towards about the middle part of November. We're going to try and run it on through the leaf change
while
we have some nice days in early November, but then we'll go ahead and
Integral part of the history of this area.
Absolutely. And this is not many chances for people to actually get out and ride on them.
And it's quite the experience, I will say.
It is. And we'll only take you out for a short trip, so it's not going to be the full view, but you'll really get a picture of what it's like. And we'll actually take a step through time on the James, walking up from really Jamestown, and we'll talk briefly about that. But then, of course, the bateau history.
Do you have a hog head full of tobacco?
We don't. Our hog's head, our cargo is our customers.
There you go. Well, it's kind of cool for them to see a hands-on history there. I love that. Now, we have a lot of listeners out there who like to contribute to different causes, both financially and with their time. If for people who love nature and love children, this might be just the organization for them. How can they find out more about, do you have volunteer opportunities?
Absolutely, we do. We have a wonderful, lovingly group we call the River Rats.
Nice.
And they love that, and they are our excellent expertise on the river. We have people all in down the river, up and down the river, from Covington and Clifton Forge all the way down to Virginia Beach. And they are all from all walks of life, avid river lovers of all kinds, and they are able to get signed up in our program, which we actually have some trainings coming up in November this fall, just right around the corner. They will be virtual this year, but that at least allows us to get to a lot more people.
Yeah.
And we'll that's just about an hour or two on an evening where we'll go through that training and talk all things river and get you involved in your section of river, which is really what the heart of this. We want you to do something that's easy for you, so you're out there looking and doing the things that we're that's part of the program. And two, it's many levels of that too. We have all kinds of levels for volunteers to get involved. But if you want to look up more information on our entire organization, I do encourage you to do so. And it's at jamesriverassociation.org. And that really outlines all of our different programs, from what we have going on here in Lynchburg, and then also to different programs we've run in Richmond again and in Williamsburg as well.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Rob Campbell. He is with the James River Association. If you want to find out more, go to that website. We're going to put links to our Facebook page to that. And your nonprofit spotlight on Fridays is brought to you by the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation. We really appreciate their help there. And I love when it says, be a James changer.
Yeah. Oh, we love them too. They're great partners of ours, and that is such a great organization. Thank them so much for the work they do.
Yeah, because you won an award.
Yes, from them. And they're part of the reason we have these kids on the water. So really appreciate their help.
That's great. Yeah. Well, we love the James River Association and the work that you're doing, Rob Campbell. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Morning Jam.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
7:47. We have some more Friday funnies coming your way, and great stories. hopefully some fun stuff like this last interview. Yeah.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
For example, fellas, I don't know if you know this, but if you only make minimum wage as a man, you can only really talk to minimum wage type chicks. Can't really venture out past that too far. If you ain't got no money, you got to mess with chicks with problems, issues. Just girls going through stuff, you know what I mean? Like, you know, girls suffering from like chronic dry eye. It's a lot more annoying than you think, sir. If you haven't been through it, you don't know. You look like you got a, you know, very moist-eyed woman right there. I don't know her. I don't know her. Did you snort just now? Don't be ashamed. That's a badge of honor, man. Comedians want to make you snort, cry, and pee. If I can get you to pee, I get a prize.
Hey. Here's the thing. The reason I think that's so funny,
right,
is when we go on our girls' weekend, uh-huh, that's the goal.
Okay, I got you.
Although with ladies, it's not that hard, you know, after you've had children. So it's not that big of a challenge.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. I'm just okay. Saying, the girls know what I'm talking about.
Something.
It's all good. It's all good. Randy says that that you got busted on his pencil story. Actually, he didn't, Randy.
What do you mean I got busted?
She confirmed that she stabbed him in the leg.
Yes.
Now, it wasn't. Was he overly dramatic? Sure. But you always have to put that through the Mark filter.
I mean, okay. I'm going to say something right here. Memories are a tricky thing.
That's okay? True.
Because I didn't want to correct Cheryl on the air. I took her to a motocross race. Actually, two of them. She went with me to one to Tampa and then one to Dade City. Because I was racing motorcycles back then. So she said a figure eight race. She remembered it was a race. That's all. You know, and that's good enough. So, you know, it gets a little cloudy. She doesn't remember that the pencil penetrated into my leg and she snapped it off. Now, I'm not saying she snapped it off on purpose. As she was pulling it out of my leg, she snapped the tip off in my leg.
Mark.
What?
Let's be honest now.
I'm being honest.
Let's just take a serious look at this for a minute. You know.
Forensic files. She's been watching too much of it.
As well as I do, that the first couple of times you told this story, you made it sound like you were getting shanked in the shower.
Shanked in the shower.
At Sing Sing. So don't even.
Shanked in the shower.
That, wow. You were a bit dramatic.
Well, I was a little bit, yes.
So she admitted to stabbing you in the leg. She just said it wasn't as bad as you made it out to be.
Let's just put it this way, guys. Okay, you remember the song? Use, you know.
I have no idea what you're singing.
Until you use me up.
Oh yeah.
You know. So okay.
Bill Withers.
I used
that. Was that?
I was able to play.
Was that Bill Withers?
I think it was a sympathy yes that she told me when she finally did go out with me somewhat.
I'm starting to think
5 years
too.
Later after high school.
I think you just wore her down is what I think. I'm pretty sure
I think
that's
in the back
happened.
Of her mind, she thought, you know, I mean, I did. I mean, let's face it. You when you shoot somebody, you know, you hear the term, well, he has lead poisoning because I shot him. I mean, I could have got lead poisoning. I think she was feeling a little bit of guilt. And then, of course, you know, once she went out with me, she realized I'm an okay guy.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't work out for us, but, you know, I still care.
All right. Moving on. So yesterday we had the story out of Texas where we were talking about it, the guy who went hiking in sandals.
Yeah, and got bit by the snake.
That was just foolish.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what happens when City Mouse goes to the country. But this snake story is different.
Right.
This is a snake story I would expect to hear out of Florida, but this is in Maryland.
Right.
Maryland authorities capture a python near a children's playground. That's not good.
What?
When you work for Public Works, you never know what kind of call you're going to get in. Public Works Department employee Brian Townsend was working on the park, apparently, and saw a 4-foot ball python.
Okay.
On the sidewalk between Buddy Attic Park and the Public Works headquarters and called for help.
Right.
Townsend helped police and animal control officers capture the reptile using trash picking tongs from the Public Works office. They were not equipped for this.
Wow.
The snake was turned over to an exotic pet rescue organization. They posted photos of the encounter on Twitter, relating it to an earlier incident in Upper Marlboro, where several zebras escaped a local farm.
Oh, my
gosh. We see your loose zebras and raise you a python, the tweet said. But seriously, thank you to the Animal Control Public Works and Greenbelt Police Department. Guys, keep your snakes at home. Or better yet, if you don't want them, get them to a rescue. Don't just let them go.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think he escaped or do you think somebody let him go?
My guess is they get so big, people let them go.
That's what happened in Florida. It's ruining their ecosystem.
The Everglades are just a mess. Matter of fact, you can make good money if you're willing to get into the swamp.
To go and catch them.
Yeah, and catch them. I mean, the state of Florida will give you good money. I mean, it's a show. Isn't there is it on Discovery or something? Or maybe this is a YouTube show where you go down and you videotape it all.
I don't know.
I can't watch
much.
The shows. I don't want to see anything about snakes. I don't. I just don't.
Well, you can catch pythons for cash.
Pythons for cash.
Yeah. I mean, and apparently it pays really well.
Yeah.
There's not enough money in the world to make me want to do that.
Yeah.
But
well,
More than 450 snake hunters gathered in the Everglades to compete in a 10-day challenge. That was in June.
Right.
And they took home a prize of $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
The Burmese pythons can grow up to 20 feet in length and reach 200 pounds.
Wow.
That's pretty smart to do that, though.
Yeah.
You can't use firearms.
Right.
They have to be caught by hand. Snake hooks are allowed. Snake bags, nose poles. $10,000, that's a pretty good payoff, though. And python hunting is legal year-round in Florida. There's only a 20.
There's no season. It's just
there's
open.
No season. Well, it is open because they got to get rid of them.
Sure.
$10,000. That's pretty good.
God bless them.
A 2012 study showed the populations of raccoons and opossums had dropped 99%, bobcats 87%. Marsh rabbits, cottontail rabbits, and foxes are gone.
Wow.
Because of these snakes.
Yeah. Well, they have to eat something.
They got to go. They need to go away. Don't buy exotic snakes. That's my message to you. This is a PSA.
Yeah.
Leah said dynamite. Yes, that would work. Dynamite would work.
Yeah.
That's what I would have to use.
I think a grenade. I think I might watch that video. I may watch that video.
You would watch that one?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back with our final hour of the Morning Jam. We've got more Friday Funnies on the way and, more from the political scene.
Yes.
We won't try to park there too long.
No, we're going to have some fun with it. Dadgummit, it's Friday. And we're so glad you're here with us. It is 8 o'clock. CBS News is next.